Hi, my name's Anna. I'm an addict. And I just sort of like, I sort of want to burst into tears. Coming into this meeting tonight really reminded me, it was like when I sort of came to my first meeting. And it's like I walked into the meeting, I didn't know anyone, sort of slinking, you know, sweating under my arm, the sweat on my, you know, on my lip, and I'm going, oh my God, so slink to the toilet, slink, and like, please, no one look at me. And I was just sort of thinking, well, you know, if I don't smile at anyone, no one's going to smile at me. And I think, so it's just about me kind of putting the effort in to not feel like an outsider, not feel like there's something wrong with me, not feel like that if I don't know anyone, I don't belong. And it's a really important night. I kind of feel really sick and I kind of want to burst into tears. But because it's my birthday, I'm going to cry. It's my Queensland birthday and I'm 30. And and it's really upsetting because I came in here when I was 21 and I was fucked. Fucked, I'm swearing. And I came in and I slinked into a meeting just like I did here, and I felt small and I thought I was bigger than you and I didn't want anyone to look at me or know me. I didn't know how to talk to anybody. My thinking was so messed up. And I just, you know, the only reason I'm here is because I've kept coming, and there's been people at every meeting I've gone to. At every meeting, there's been at least one other person for the whole time I've been coming. And I've been to some terrible meetings in some terrible places. Like, you know, dank, you know, church halls, freezing, listening to people I've got resentments on, listening to people I love. You know, I've been to millions and millions of meetings. But I always hear the same message, which is that I'm an addict. And if I want to not do what I used to be doing, I have to keep coming to meetings. And the only way I can do it is just by just trying to be honest. And that kind of first step, and I always talk about when I do this speaker chat, oh, it's a bit freaky doing 40 minutes. Cause I don't know if I can talk that long, but I think I can. But it's this thing. The one thing I've always known coming here is that I'm powerless over my addiction. I was a full-on drug addict. I mean, I used until I was 21. My youth was really boring. I didn't do anything amazing. I didn't go to prison. I did a prostitution bit. I pimped someone else. You know, I dealt smoking dope. I dealt, you know, I was dealing some speed. You know, I was doing a few bits and bobs, stealing handbags if I could. You know, playing pool, trying to make bets, just not great using, but sitting in cars hitting up and just going, oh, fucking have to get more, you know, getting the water out of dank toilets from, you know, like just really sort of using, because I didn't want to feel anything and I didn't want to be in my skin. The other thing that this all reminds me of is that when I, you sort of wonder, well, when did this all happen? You know, was my family that bad? It was pretty shit, right? My dad's an alcoholic. He was really violent. He left when I was 4. My sister was 6. My mum, I got brought up by a single mum. She wasn't really around because she was working because she had no money. So it was sort of me and my sister kind of sort of forging this little life. And I think I was a bit lost and fearful of things. And my mum was sort of angry. And she used to hit us once a month just so we wouldn't do anything wrong. You know, like she didn't, I don't think she knew what she was doing. And so when I was like 11, I remember in primary school, doing this sort of skipping rope and everyone going, oh, my God, you've got knobbly knees. And I'm going, oh, my God, there's something wrong with me. And it was the first time I remember being really self-conscious about my body, about, oh, my God, I've got knobbly knees, right? And I used to wear, I'm from Australia. It was hot, right? I used to wear clothes from here to my toes if I could. I hated getting my arms out. When I started getting boobs, I was going, oh, my God, people are going to look at me. I was so self-conscious. And it was the fear. It was this thing that I didn't know. I had no connection with who I was at all. And so you know, so mum goes out with this guy. I hate him. He chases me around the house. I lock myself in my room. I mean, I'm not a nice teenager, right? And I Anna, can you tidy your room? Fuck off, I'm not doing my room. Run around, you know, just naughty, sneaking out at night, started taking some car sickness pills, you know, I like that, start taking more pills and just being kind of rebellious, right? And the reason I'm thinking about this is because my addiction absolutely took off from the minute I took anything, right? I just thought, right, I've got to have that. I want more and more. I had no fear. I took anything that was going, snorted it, whatever. Didn't care, smoke it, eat it. I mean, we'd do anything, right? So I'm like 13, 14 years old, young. I have a 16-year-old, right, who's a bit of a stoner. I call him a stoner. He's not really a stoner, but he's got his little, he's got his paraphernalia, and he's got this little tin, and he hides it, but he leaves his door open. He knows we've seen it. You know, and he's so lovely, and he tells us every time. He goes, oh, you know, I've done this, or, you know, my fear is that, oh, my God, he's an addict. What the hell is an addict? And we sort of had this conversation with him. You've got two parents who are addicts. It's not looking good for you. You know, you've got to be really, really careful, right? And it's this thing that the difference between he and I is that one is telling me everything. I didn't talk to my mother. I certainly wouldn't have told anyone. I just didn't talk to anybody about anything. All I did was slink around trying to find where I can buy some more dope or where I can get some more pills or how to be like you, because I just did not want to be like me. And I was full of fear. And so, you know, I don't know how I got through high school, to be honest, because people would say, oh, you're really good at your course, you're really good at this. Come year 12, I had a car accident like the day before my exams because they were all pissed. And another pissed driver crashed into me. So I didn't do any of my exams and I passed. I don't know how, right? But I think what I did, the only thing that saved me from my home was going to school. So I did enough study to get by, right? And I didn't have a lot of courage, so I didn't leave school. I didn't rebel enough to go, fuck it, I'm not going to school, I'm just going to go out. I was really cowardly. I was really, really frightened. And so I get to uni and it's like this adult world and I'm in the toilets hitting up and I'm getting pissed from the minute I'm there, like 10. As soon as the bar's open, I'm trying to drink. I'm trying to drown out the fact that all my head is saying is, you're not good enough. There's something wrong with you. They've got it. You haven't got it. They can do it. You can do it. They've got what you want. Oh, my God, she's nice to me. Oh, my God, I look so disgusting. Oh, my God, him. I wonder if he likes me. I wonder if I could have sex with him. If I have sex with him, that might be nice. And my head was constant. Noise, this, that. And every time I used, it went. It's like, oh, you know, like just this quiet descended on me. And then I became like a wild, mad person. And all my boyfriends used to hate it when I drank. They go, you are, you know, they just didn't want to have anything to do with me because I was just like a loose cannon, yeah? And it was this sort of freedom from this sort of prison I had in my head. And the reason I'm thinking this, because the other thing was when I sat in here and everyone was talking about the slogans, when I first came to a meeting, I'm going to get really, you know, there was things like keep it simple, think it through, stick with the winners, and we're all taken from AA, right? Because I got clean, there were five meetings of NA in Melbourne, and we just took everything from AA. And eventually, we sort of used to have all these ASCs about, oh, you've got to keep your language, you've got to say you're an addict, don't you? Because NA had to grow, right? But at the beginning, it was think things through, stick with the winners, and it was like the first time I ever had a way to kind of live. So instead of like being in my head and my head saying, oh, you're not good enough, what are you going to do? Oh, my God, look what you've worn. Oh, my God, I can't go to the toilet because everyone's going to look at me. Oh, my God, is he going to like me? I suddenly thought, well, just keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. Think it through. Okay, stick with the winners. Oh, my God. And then I would go and try and find, I'd say, you know, stick with the winners for me was just don't hang out with people who are using because I'm going to use. I'm just going to use if you're using. And so these slogans meant that really slowly my thinking, this noise that came in my head, this thing that kind of tells me I'm worthless and can't make it just slowly kind of receded. My thinking just slowly receded and I just started kind of getting brainwashed by night, which I loved. I loved it, right? Because on my own, I couldn't do it. So, you know, I mean, I always worked. We had no money, always had to work. So moved out when I was 16, first year at uni, put myself through uni, got a loan. I mean, I was using, got a loan from a bank to get a car. I don't know why they loaned me the money. It took me fucking 8 years to pay that fucking loan on in recovery. I mean, I don't know why they lent it to me. And I tried to kind of have this semblance of normality. So like I said, I was cowardly. I didn't go that whole extra mile and live on the street. I was on the periphery. So I was hanging out with people living on the street. But then I would, you know, come Monday morning, I'd go to uni, I'd, you know, go to my job, and I'd try. But slowly it got worse and worse and worse. I got, you know, I embezzled money from uni. They told me to take a year off or leave, right? So it's 2 years. 2 years I go to uni, try, failed everything, absolutely everything. And I was this, you know, girl that had passed her year 12, failed everything. I was hitting up, I was using. And then in this year off, I used every, like, third day. I started using every third day. I wanted to be different. I wanted this normal life, this peace, yeah? Because I had this constant fight within myself about go, use, pick up a drink, have a drink, have a drink. No, don't do that, because if I do that, then I've got to fucking have a hit. And if I have a hit, then I've got to have some smoking dope. And I have that, I've got to have some pills. And because I just couldn't have one, yeah? And so I was this constant battle. And also, you know, my mum had found out. I'd ended up in a detox. My mum had been on a European trip. She came home. I was living in her flat. I was working, trying to get clean, hanging out with my two ex-boyfriends who were using, who were best mates, who had fallen out because of me, right? And so every time they scored, I'd go, hi, here I am, come get me. And then I'd use them, maybe have a shag, you know, whatever. And then I'd go back Monday morning, right, I'd go to uni, you know. I mean, mental, right? Just, and it was killing me. You know, like I couldn't do it. And I wanted to drown in, like, just wanted to drink. I couldn't get enough heroin. I couldn't afford it. So that was that sort of year where I got introduced to NA, actually, was that year. And it was through one of these guys I was kind of, you know, sleeping with and using with. Went to a rehab because he'd had enough. And we had spent his entire inheritance on heroin, right? And he went to a rehab. I was going out. So we're still dating, really. And then he got clean. And I thought, well, I'll go to a meeting with him. You know, I wanted him, really. I didn't want the meeting. I wanted him. And it was not, I don't know that I'm a love addict, but if I have this hole inside me, guys can fill it. Easy, right? I just put them in there, just go in there, go, oh, that's better, right? Oh, right? Just put there, right? Just in there. It doesn't have to be in that one, it has to be in that, you know. Right? So that's what I was doing with this guy, and his name's Piers, and I think he's clean, actually. He's still clean. In fact, we fell out. But anyway, but after a long time, we fell out, and I think he's still clean in Australia. I sponsored two of his sisters. I mean, you know, like, look, it's not good. But anyway, so I went to a meeting with him, and then we had coffee after. So this thing, like, if I was in here, so after, because you know how I came into this room and go, I don't know anyone, I don't know anyone. 30 years clean, I still can't cope, right? I don't know anyone, I can't know anyone. If anyone in here who I didn't know asked me for coffee, I go, no, I'm going home, right? And that's what I used to do at meetings when I got clean. Oh, no, I'm going home, thanks. Thanks so much. You know, because I don't know if you'll like me. I mean, that's the truth, right? I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I can hold myself, yeah? I don't know why I got onto that. Anyway, so going to this first meeting with this guy and going for coffee after, it was like five people. I mean, there was like five people in the meeting, right? It was really small. And that's how this woman asked me, she goes, oh, are you here for you? I go, no, I'm listening. I'm not an addict. I never, ever, ever thought I'd have to give up drugs. I thought I need a new boyfriend, right? I need more money. And I need a different family. And it would be good if I had some friends, like proper friends, apart from just people I use with, because actually I have no friends from any of my school life. I have no friends from uni because I was dealing with using. So that I didn't come into recovery with any friends apart from these two guys, who both came to my mother's funeral when she died, you know, when I was 11 years clean. Because I had no friends. They were the only two people I had. So my first meeting, right? So I didn't get clean from that. But this using every third day was torture, because you're constantly hanging out. I was hanging out the whole time. And so when I used, so I'd get one of these guys, Piers or Michael was the other one, who I wasn't really going out with, but I would use his drugs. And I and I'd use, I'd go home to my mother, I'd put a pair of glasses on, get a book, go to bed, 10 o'clock, right? I'd get, mum would come in, I'd go, how are you? And I'd be nodding off. I'd go, fine, fine. And then I'd hang out for another 2 days, and then I'd do it again. It was awful. It was worse than using every day. It was awful. And then eventually I got so lonely and so... I was so lonely and broken by this facade, this sham of a life that I was pretending to lead, that I went to a meeting. I went to, I think Joe, you said you, someone introduced, you went to a meeting, the seed was planted, go to an NA meeting. And I went to a meeting and I've stayed clean since then, not because I'm any better or worse than anyone in this room, but because there was nothing else for me to do. I had done it. I had done using full on. I'd done using, trying to control my using. I felt terrible. I hated myself. I hated my life. I couldn't, for all my thinking and trying to find something, I couldn't work it out. So I came to NA, loved it, loved it, loved it. Went, you know, like, you can see, I was like a puppy. NA, brilliant. I'd go home with the basic text. Mum, I was still even like, look at this. And we'd read, she'd let me read it to her. I'd go, oh, I love it. I got this sponsor who was like, she must have been like 30. 32, I thought she was so old. She had 6 months clean, this woman. And she took me, I'm mad. And she took me through the steps. And I would go, Mom, look, I've done this. And I was a GSR at 6 weeks clean. Mental, right? I remember going to an ASC and people talking about organization and this and money. And I'd sit there going, I've got no idea what you people are talking about. But I'm not using. I am not using. I, the person who could not stop at a sniff, at a sip of anything, was not using. It was a miracle that I wasn't. You can see it. I'm an addict, right? And I do everything. I've always done it like that. And so I got into recovery like that. And how many mistakes have I made because I'm like that? How is it that I'm sponsoring my boyfriend's two sisters? I mean, what is that? Talk about boundaries. No boundaries, right? I told women how to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. But I loved NA, and I did not use, which meant that every day that went by, I went, oh, maybe you're not that bad. Yes, you are. I fucking hate you. You're shit. I would look in the mirror and go, I hate you. But there'd be this little voice going, you're not that bad. Not that bad, not that bad. Slowly, like, I mean, minuscule. And I did not have a feeling until I was 5 years clean. Not one, right? I didn't feel guilt. I didn't feel disappointment. I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel sad. Nothing. I felt, oh, my God, I'm in NA. And I was like an annoying, irritating person walking around with this sort of manic. I was terrible on speed as well. Like manic. It's a defense. It's a defense against this vulnerable little small person inside me. Come 5 years clean. Peers had left me at 3 years clean. I couldn't stop. You were talking about smoke. Couldn't stop smoking. Didn't care at all about cigarettes. None of us did in those days. Couldn't care. Couldn't stop eating, had never had trouble with food before in my life, because you don't eat when you use a lot, particularly, you don't eat, so I never had that problem, but I never did. And come 5 years clean, I got depressed. I got really depressed. And it was like this cloud, and I remember just going to a meeting and bursting into tears and everyone going, yay, Anna, good for you. And I was, felt so humiliated. But they all knew me. We all knew each other, right? It wasn't, you never went to a meeting and didn't know anybody. You knew everyone at every meeting in Melbourne. And until I left. I left when I was six and a half years clean. And that's when I started having feelings. And there's a book called Stage 2 Recovery, and it's a Hazelden book. I think I'm allowed to talk about it. And it says, it's back in the... I don't think people really talk about it now, but back in those days we used to do these books, and it was that once you stop using for long enough, the next thing is relating. relating to yourself, relating to other people, relating to your job, relating to your work, relating. I didn't have a clue at 5 years clean what I was doing. We literally were, when I got clean, I went to nightclubs, went back to uni, I did everything I was meant to do. Was in a relationship, day one clean, got sponsors, made every major decision you could imagine. I mean, I just did what I wanted to do and not use. And broke up with peers, went to I moved into a house with people who weren't in NA, and went wild. It was I was just this wild girl, not using, not on drugs. And it was great, it was good fun. I stayed away from guys in the fellowship. Actually, I think no one really wanted me. I was a bit of a loose, a loose cannon. I slept with one guy from Sydney, but he went back to Sydney, which is 12 hours away. I didn't really do anything in the fellowship. But I did outside because I was, 22 by that? I was young. I wanted to live. I did not get clean to be bored. I did not get clean to be bored, which for me means disconnected. So I connected to my life. And the way I did it was got my sponsor to take me through the steps and loads of service. Loads and loads of service. Went to conventions, went to spiritual retreats. Hated them. I hated all of it. I hated telling everyone who I was. I didn't want to tell you who I was. I felt so small. I've felt small for years. 5 years clean, I felt tiny still, like an ant, right? Insignificant. Still didn't know what I wanted to look like. Still didn't know what clothes to buy. Was I cool? Piers was in a band, right? I always thought I was so cool. I wasn't. I don't think I really was. I was druggy. Druggies are not cool when you look at them, right? But you feel like a cool person. So we had our leather jackets, we played pool in the pubs with the old timers, I wasn't cool. I thought I was. So in recovery, after meetings, we'd all go play pool. That's what we all do. That's all we did, right? I loved my early time in NA. And it was like for the first time I had friends. I don't think I'd ever had friends before that. I loved my early recovery. I loved it. And then got the press at 5 years, come 6.5 years clean, I go, Mum. Right, get my mum in my room, right? It's just me, my mum, my sister, right? I go, Mum, why did you hit her? I sort of did an amends with her. And what I did was ask her, why did you hit us? Why were you angry all the time? Why were you not available to me? And the poor woman just cried, right? And she just cried. She said, I'm really sorry. And I loved it. It was great because it freed me from making it her fault, making it the fault of someone else that I was in the position I was in. And at 6.5 years clean, the other thing is, because my father, I'm Greek, and so being Greek in Australia when I was born, because it's a long time ago now, it was a very racist. So I was a wog, right? I was greasy, slimy, got a long last name, and I hated my father for this. I hated him, and he'd left, right? So I decided at 6.5 years clean, depressed, no boyfriend, couldn't be bothered shagging just with anyone for no reason anymore. All right, I'm going to travel and explore my Greekness. So I came here, my sister was here, and then I went to Greece. And I met an auntie, and I went and I stayed, and I stayed there, went to meetings in Athens, don't speak a word of Greek, so which was, I mean, not a word, and stayed there for about a year. Then came back here and then, met my husband, fell in love in lust, let's get honest, fell in lust with my husband, who was in NA. And then I moved in to his place after 6 weeks and I haven't left. And the poor man. but that's what I do. I'm an addict, right? I'm very dependent, right? So when I attach, I'm not letting go, right? I'm like a barnacle, I'm going to hang on. So poor old Joe is 23 years, and I love him. I still love him. I still get all in lust with him. Love him. He's a great man. Don't get him. Don't know what goes through his head, But it's great. I don't know why I told you that about poor Joe. Poor old Joe. But I'm not easy, right? I think that's the thing, right? I'm not easy, right? I'm still the same. Am I the same person that came in? 30 years clean. I remember being 6 years clean, six and a half years clean, sitting at a meeting on the Harrow Road here, telling people, feeling really a bit smug, let's be honest, a bit smug, saying, oh, I'm clean as long as I used. And not everyone looked at me like I was stupid. I mean, they're all newcomers. They had no idea what I was talking about. But these birthdays of mine in my clean time have meant something to me. Yeah, they've meant something to me. I didn't need to share it. I didn't come here. Charlie didn't know it was my birthday. It was fortuitous. It was like meant to be that I came. I didn't want anyone to know. I'm going to cry again. Because I don't need people to know anymore that I'm so amazing that I've got a day clean. Yeah, it means something to me because I don't know, I'm obviously old. Fuck it. I'm old. You know, I'm 52 this year. I can't quite believe it. I was listening to my son, the four of us in the kitchen. I was like dancing to the hip hop. So I don't know who is playing last night. I was dancing like a mad woman. My kids think I'm a complete embarrassment. But I just trying to be a better person. That's all I try and do. And I think, you know, my mum died 19 years ago in 10 days because I went home to nurse her. I was here with Joe, poor man, and I got a call from Australia, your mum's sick, diagnosed with cancer, dead in 8 weeks, right? So I went and I nursed her for those 8 weeks. And my world fell apart when my mother died. And I'd never experienced anything like it because as angry as she was and as hard as it was to live with her as a kid, she was all I had. Her and my sister were all I had. And so it took me a long time to recover from that. And in fact, I'm still not really recovered. I can't believe she's left, to be honest, because I feel like a little girl. But my sister is now sober in another fellowship. We know the one. And she's like 19 years sober, and we have followed each other around this planet. I mean, she was in London. That's why I came when I was clean, because she was here drinking like a fish. She ended up coming to Greece, and I would peel her off the pavements, pissed, right? Because I was working in a bar trying to make money to live in Greece, but I didn't speak the language. It was awful. Trying to go to meetings and not understand a bloody word. And so she came to Greece, and then I left there to come here because I needed English-speaking meetings because I was going crazy. And she ended up drinking, going back to Australia and, like, drinking until my mum died. So, and now she's here. She's been living here 5 years. I'm not from a big family. I don't have lots of friends. I don't. What roots me to this world is NA. I mean, it's a bit like, is it a bit pathetic to say that? But for 30 years, this has been the thing. And it's not like I'm not any amazing person. It's just worked for me because I had nothing else. And I wasn't this amazing person that I fucking thought I was or should be. I'm not fucking loaded, you know, like that loaded, swanning around the world in loads. I don't know what you do when you're loaded, but, you know, what do you do? You swan around the world wearing your nice watch. I don't fucking know. I like the Schneid ones at Cairns, and I quite like them. I like them when they fall apart. It's so annoying. You know, like, I don't know. I'm just still trying to be me. And that's what NA's given me. And those steps, and, you know, these things with the slogans and that, those traditions you read out, it's this thing. And I was reading this. When you see he let it, no one has gossiped about me in NA. I said to someone before the meeting, I'm boring. I haven't done anything that miraculous except stay clean, right? Which I think is actually rather miraculous for me. And no one has gossiped about me. I haven't done anything, right? And all I've done is just try to be me and the best me. And having these kids, these two teenage boys, I wanted six, right? They're brilliant, these kids, because it's like I just want them to be free. I was not free. I felt so burdened by expectation or what people thought I should be or what I thought I should be. I used to sort of hang on to one girlfriend at a time to mimic her, to copy her, to try and get her power. I was powerless. I was empty, powerless. And I look at my boys, oh my God, my youngest. He's travelled London on his own since 13. I can't stop him. He's formidable. He just does what he wants. You're not the boss of me, Mum, is what he says. Like, oh, you're right, you know. Right? Let him go. He's fine. I don't know. And I'm so happy. Oh, the only other thing is I have the same sponsor. I have the same sponsor 30 years on. Mm. Do I use her like I ever used her? No, right? No, haven't. But I've got loads of sponsees that keep me connected, that keep me talking about step one. What? How do I never use again? Because if that is all I manage, oh, that's freedom for me, because that noise of should I use, should I not use, oh my God, what am I going to look like, oh my God, have I got any money, oh my God, when am I going to get it, oh my God, it's really late, oh my God, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, fucking hell, I've got to go and eat a fucking hot dog, some fucking off rank food from some chippy in, oh, I mean, I had the, it was not pretty, my using, wasn't it, you know, I mean, I think you know, and I'm clean, and I love it. I feel exactly the same now as I did when I came in and loved in my manic way, loved NA. And, and it's because of you. Because I didn't write the book, unfortunately. I didn't write it. You did. And that's why I'm here. And I remember reading those stories over and over and over again just to make sense of this madness that was going on in me. I don't have the madness. I don't have it. I don't wake up in fear. If I feel I've failed my children, I can't sleep. That's when I can't sleep now. If I've hurt them, when they were little, I used to grab their arms and go, stop it! You know, I would lose control and I would stay awake for nights thinking, oh my God, how am I doing this? And then I would come to a meeting and I think, just do the best you can, Anna. Do the best. The slogans. Keep it simple. First thing first. The other thing is you can't relapse. You can't bust on an attitude of gratitude. And that is a slogan you would never have heard. Mm-hmm. These from Melbourne or Australia. You can't bust on an attitude of gratitude. And I have to remind myself that the thing I always wanted was to be free of using, free of active addiction. And I've got it, and I've got much, much more. And I still look at people and want to be like them, and I still do that. But actually then I go, I can't be asked. What's the point? You know, so, you know, I used to pick my skin. I don't know if you all do. Of course you all do. You know, sit in the mirror and get, I can't be asked. And sometimes I catch myself and I've been walking around with a pussy on my chin and I think, oh, my God, people have been looking at my face. Can't be bothered. I don't care. I'm beyond it, right? If I was single, I might care. But I haven't been single, and I don't think I'm going to have to be single if I don't want to be. If I'm prepared to stay committed to poor old Joe, who's prepared to have me, it's fine for me. I did enough sleep around. I don't need to do it. I know what it's like, right? So anyway, I'm happy, and thank you is all I want to say. Thank you for sitting at all these meetings with me, year in, year out, being clean or not. It doesn't even matter. Just kind of doing the best we can. So thanks a lot. Thanks. Yes.